First of all, do I sound all right?
Oh, you sound great.
Okay.
Love hearing your voice.
I mean, what's going to happen next? You're going to see NFL players doing the running with the Bulls over in Spain or something? Just to be new and trendy?
That just helps with conditioning in the offseason.
This is not a debate. This is a lecture.
Everybody, if you are listening to the new music, there is a reason for that. Mediation Monday, which is the new show that we teased a little bit on Wednesday, the Wednesdays with Wade is now over with. That is going to be the new music. We are going to be posting that show, doing it live, posting it online, all sorts of stuff. It's going to be big time. It's our new Around the League show, Dustin and I. And again, you can check that out right here on the Overtime Sports News Network, Mediation Monday. It's going to be big time. We decided the best bet, instead of just doing it out of the blue today, was to tease it, to play the music, and to let all of you know that it's coming. So that is going to be basically the case here. I mean, 2 o'clock to 2 to 3:30 or 2 to 3?
Well, we got to figure out what we're doing. Either we're going to move the Cowboy, this Stars Align show to Sunday and then do the Mediation Monday on Monday, or I don't know. We're going to figure something out, but basically Blog Talk doesn't allow us to do multiple shows on one day. So probably.
Which I just found out this morning.
Right. Probably more likely than not, this show, The Stars Align, will go to Sundays, and then Mediation Monday will either take over this time slot or it'll start a little bit sooner. But info will be posted on the website about that, theotsnn.com, or you can check the Facebook pages, like us. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of us, overtimesnn@gmail.com, which is actually where we'll be reading emails for the first time today.
Yes, we got some good ones. We got people who are definitely interested in listening. Triple-digit live listeners every week. We gotta love that. We have a resident Giants fan from Long Island who calls the show every week, which we love. Bill from Long Island, buddy. We appreciate your input. And we have a big-time listenership, rather, with the Dallas Cowboys. I think it's a Facebook group, actually, and it's just Dallas Cowboys fans, and they love everything about their team just like we do, and they're listening right now too. In fact, if you are a member of that group on Facebook and you are part of the group chat, well, they're talking about us right now, actually, on air, and they say hi and everything. So, but a big topic here, Dallas Cowboys 90-minute Monday, which could very well be a 90-minute Sunday pretty soon, but we'll figure that out. The first topic actually coincides with one of our emails. So, Dustin, do you want to read the email first, or do you want me to go into the topic first?
We'll go into the topic, and then we're going to keep the emails separate for our mail time segment, which we'll probably do after topic number two or so.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, the first one then, I won't mention exactly what the email is about, but Brandon Carr is hurt. He was also named to Sports Illustrated's 50 Most Overrated Athletes, but that's besides the point. He's
well, that's
right
a
now.
Shocker.
Why?
Because he is by far the most overpaid corner in the NFL, the most overpaid corner on the Dallas Cowboys, and the guy needs to be teaching high school football somewhere and get the hell off my team.
All right. Well, regardless, he's having the same surgery DeMarco Murray had, and he'll be back for the regular season. But what this does is this gives us a little bit of a look at the depth that we have at the secondary position. Byron Jones, obviously, being the guy with the binocular vision on him. But my question is, with Scandrick and Corey White and Jeff Heath and some of these guys, Wilcox says that he has a chip on his shoulder, and they fell short last year and all this. Is this secondary improved? Is this secondary better than they were last year? Or is this still a very average secondary that is going to be the one weakness? You got to think the one weakness with everything else that we've added, the one weakness on this defense.
So my opinion on the current state of the secondary is there's a lot of hype surrounding Byron Jones, right? There's a little bit that's put into Orlando Scandrick, considering we were willing to give him the kind of money that we were willing to give him this offseason to keep him around. You can't really say that Orlando Scandrick hasn't put up number one corner numbers, because he has. Is he putting up superstar corner numbers, Darrell Revis, Sherman, Peterson numbers? No. But he's that, like, second tier, that tier down from the best of the best, and then that next, you know, category, just like they do tiers of quarterbacks. Throw Scandrick in that second tier. He's pretty good. I've seen him burnt on way too many occasions to be comfortable. But, I have no problem giving him the one spot. Here's where I have an issue. Mo Claiborne, we got to figure out what we're doing with this kid, because there are a lot of people that are casual fans or don't even know where this guy is. And they're like, what the hell ever happened to Mo Claiborne? And I'm like, yeah, he's just sitting on our roster, and he hasn't been able to make it through a full season yet. I don't want Mo Claiborne to turn into the Dallas Cowboys' Darren McFadden, quote, unquote, because now Dallas does have Darren McFadden. But Darren is notorious for being made out of glass in Oakland. He could not produce at a full-time basis. He was shown that he's a part-time guy. He just can't handle the workload of that go-to halfback, 16 games a season plus playoffs. But boy, man, does he have flashes of just, damn, he is one hell of a running back. So this is my problem. Claiborne, there was a lot of flashes where you're like, that's what I'm talking about. You know, we got a corner finally. But then there's injuries immediately after. And I think he iced the game for us last year with an interception late down the far sideline.
It was against the Rams.
I know the picture, I believe. Yeah, it's a very big picture. It was one of, like, the, you know, the best moments of the year. It was a defining moment for the team. And that's the game that we were down 21-0, right?
Yeah, we were down 21-0, and Romo brought us back in the second half, and we sealed the deal with an interception. Yeah.
With the pick, right. So that was an iconic moment for us, because that was a major, major comeback, because that, as you mentioned last week, was one of those games where you were just like, oh man, the Cowboys are just going to be garbage again. And then they pulled themselves out of the dumpster and were able to, you know, get some momentum and put together a win streak. But like I said, that was a hell of an interception, but it's like you saw him intercept the ball, land on his back violently, and then what happened? One or two weeks later, he's hurt. So it's like, I just can't figure out what I want as far as a corner. Do I want that freak athlete who's going to put his body on the line for that one play? That every down, he's going to put his body on the line to come up for you big? But the injury potential is through the roof. You know, like the guys like Polamalu, the fact that Polamalu was able to last the amount of years that he did, credit that son of a gun on toughness. I don't know how, because he used to come flying at dudes like a missile. Same thing with, remember Roy the Hitman Williams that we had for a short time? That guy, these guys were just they're out there to just put a hit on you. And it's like, you think, all right, if they're doing that, they're going to hurt themselves in the process. So maybe chalk that up to steroids or some kind of, you know, human growth hormone in order to quickly heal. I don't know. I don't know if these guys ever did that. I don't know if that's how they came back. We don't know if Ray Lewis did any of that stuff, and that's how he was able to heal so quickly from his injuries. So I guess, I don't know, maybe in today's NFL moving forward, maybe injuries are going to be a major, major deal, because now they're so on top of drug testing that if there were any kind of cheap things that you could do to quickly heal your body to be back out there and stay competitive, now that's all going to be going away, because, I mean, you're going to be taking a piss test every other day. You're going to be taking, you know, they're going to take hair samples. They're going to do blood work. You know, they're literally taking this very seriously now, and it's too bad, because I've been on record. Let them do whatever they want. As long as they're not telling kids to do it, and as long as their butts and seats come game day, I don't give a crap. I'm your worst nightmare baseball fan.
I don't think it would matter if they told kids to do it or didn't. Kids would do it anyway.
If they saw their favorite athlete
doing it, they're going to do it.
Right, but well, I'm saying don't go to a public place and start sticking needles in your butt. I'm just saying don't verbally, you know, advertise that you do this. If kids are smart enough that in high school they put two and two together and they're like, dude, how is this guy so damn big? Oh, all right, well, hey, yeah, man, this is what all the guys are doing. All right, cool. That's just your typical peer pressure learning moment. You either go with it or you fight back and you grow from it. So I'm just saying, I don't know. Like I said, I'm the worst guy. I am baseball fans' worst enemy, because I'm saying roid up and let's turn every game into a home run derby. I am not a baseball guy. I'm a football guy. Hard hitting offense. We want just beasts out there. So as far as Brandon Carr is concerned, I just think, you know, whatever. You're hurt, heal up, I guess come back. Yeah, I guess come back, because he's, you know, oh, this is going to be my best year yet, and I'm going to build on last year. Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to find that out week one, right? We host the Giants week one. Is that what that is?
Giants Sunday night week one. Yep.
Week one. So I'm going to find out pretty damn quick if Victor Cruz, off a bad injury, can burn our Mr. Carr, because
well,
I think they're number one.
Because Carr's technically the one, and Beckham's technically the one receiver for them. So I think he's going to be on Carr again.
I thought Skandrick was the one.
I mean, maybe, but I think Carr is number one on the depth chart. If I'm wrong, I'll check here. But
so unless this is a Jason Garrett, I'm going to hook you up, go out and right the wrong for Brandon Carr, meaning Beckham put you on a poster, you're on the cover of Madden in a bad way, go out and make it right. Unless Garrett gives him that opportunity, which I think is dumb, by the way, then why the hell do we want to do that all over again? He literally made you look foolish and like a dumb, dumb, dumb little boy trying to play with a man. You know what I mean? Trying to play with the big boys. That's how stupid Beckham made you look. We're going to go put him back out there and set him up for failure again? No.
Now we have a pass rush.
Help. Yeah, well, I guess. I can't. Listen, Brandon Carr has been underperforming since Kansas City, all right? So I've been so against Brandon Carr, it's ridiculous. You can bring it all the way back to when the trade happened. And I was like, really? So I don't want that. I didn't want Carr. I wanted Flowers. We got the wrong guy from Kansas City. That's the problem. So, I mean, as far as – what's our first topic? Is our first topic about Byron Jones or Brandon Carr? I forget what the hell we're talking about right now.
Well, it was both. The first topic was Brandon Carr's hurt. He'll be back for the season but won't play probably the remainder of the preseason. First-round pick Byron Jones really hasn't looked good in the minutes that he had.
Yeah, but I saw that's not true, though, because I saw some clips where he was making solo tackles like a G. So there was good and bad. Like, he was flying in on tackles, and that's how he hurt his shoulder. Now, this was the hype coming in on this kid. Everybody needs to remember this. Byron Jones was one hell of a talent, but they said the dude's got shoulder issues, right? He had a pre-existing shoulder injury. So we knew this coming in. So that's what I'm the most worried about, is the fact that did we just draft a dude that's got glass shoulders to compact our problem at halfback? You know what I mean? Like, did we just, because if that's the case, I don't even want the dude at safety, because when you're at safety, I mean, I feel like your shoulder comes into to even more play, because you're going to be charging at dudes going, you know, 15 to 20 miles per hour, and then you're just going to wreck them when they're not paying attention, and you need to throw your shoulder into that, especially nowadays where you got to pull your head up. So if this guy's shoulders are bad, then that pretty much rules safety out. So I just don't know, you know what I mean? If this isn't just your typical preseason training camp injury, which is usually hamstrings, groin pulls, dehydration, stuff that's basic and it's based around your heart or your hydration. If it's related to that, then I'm cool with it, because it'll, you know, that's why I'm not worried about this Dez Bryant thing and blah, blah, blah. But when you start throwing in an injury that you have a very, very large history with, that has me a little bit worried. So I don't know. What's your take on it?
Well, Carr said the other day in an interview, he says, I'm antsy. I've been antsy now for a week. I'm going to be smart about this and just make sure I stay sharp and on the mental part of my game. I take it day by day and see how it goes. You want to get out there as fast as you can with your guys and mix it up. But I want to be smart about it and make sure I'm ready for the long haul of the season. Again, Carr had surgery to fix a broken bone in his right hand last Monday and missed Thursday's preseason opener at San Diego. Not that he probably would have played that much anyway. But he worked a little on his footwork today during the walkthrough wearing a bandage on his hand. Carr, to me, I mean, I've seen him make plays big in games, especially the Giants game last season where he was – Not the one where Odell made him look silly, but the second one in Dallas. He shut him down, basically. Odell did nothing in that game. So now I'm looking at, okay, well, the Giants are coming in. They have a stacked receiving core. I mean, Jennings. I can't remember his first name. Jennings from Green Bay. Odell, obviously. Victor Cruz is back. They say he's 100%. Obviously, they have a wild card in Dwayne Harris, our guy from that they got. So the Giants are going to be tough on offense. They don't.
You know
really
what I consider? You know what I consider all those pickups? Whenever you see a guy who goes to a division rival, it's for playbook purposes. It's to basically piss the coaches off, make them change all their literature, all their audibles, because what's going to happen is the Giants are going to bring in Harris. Harris is going to be a special team guy. I don't see him contributing at all. I don't see him contributing at all in the wide receivers, point. Maybe he'll
barely
have like
contributed
one or two.
Offensively for Dallas. Barely.
Right, but
I mean,
you can understand that now, because you look at it, you got Witten as like the backup option. You got Beasley as the backup option. Then you got Williams as the backup. And then you got Dez as the number one. So it's like, we didn't have room. You know, we got quality guys. Terrence Williams isn't a guy you sleep on. Now he's coming into his own. If you want a guy who's poised for a breakout season, look for T Will, because now everybody's going to be all over Dez. And I think Williams is going to come up big. And I think people are going to be game planning for Beasley more than Williams, to be honest with you, because now everybody's realizing a slot receiver is so damn important in this league. But that Harris pickup, like I said, is strictly just to piss us off, just to learn the playbook. So now you're talking about the Giants knowing our stuff, Eagles knowing our stuff, and then the Redskins got one of our defensive guys, right?
I believe so, yep.
Was it Hatcher?
Yeah, it was.
So you look at that, right? How many Eagles, Redskins, and Giants guys did we pick up? Donut. So that's the only issue there. So, I mean, I guess Garrett's an offensive coach, an offensive coordinator down deep, so maybe he doesn't have a problem with relearning all this crap and coming up with new offenses and all this stuff. But it's got to suck for Romo and all the guys. But, yeah, other than that, whatever.
Well,
I really don't care about it.
This game is going to be an interesting one. Not only am I going to have a bunch of people over, living up here in good old upstate New York in Giants territory, and I'm going to have more Giants fans in my house than Cowboys fans that night, which is going to suck. But this is going to be one of those games where Brandon Carr is, I don't think, is going to be the highlight of our show when we do our post-game show and we do the next show, Mediation Monday, the next day. I don't think it's going to be Carr that we're talking about that says, oh, my God, did you see Carr got burnt like toast? He was awful in this game. Odell made him look silly. I don't think that's going to be the case because I think that this is going to be a high-scoring. It's going to be Romo, Dez, Williams, Beasley versus Eli, Jennings, Cruz, and Beckham, and it's going to be a shootout because neither of us have a solid secondary. The Giants just picked up Merriweather, but he's more of a hitter than he is a cover guy, and they're banged up all over the defense. They don't have really an offense, or offensive line, rather, and this is going to be one of those maybe 35-27 games, something like that. It's going to be probably the most exciting game of the weekend just because both teams are so loaded on offense and have such question marks on defense. If Dallas can go in against a team that has that potent of an offense, despite an offensive line, because they're going to be okay. They're not going to be garbage, but they're going to be okay. With Flowers, they've got Schwartz, Weston Richburg is good, Justin Pugh coming back. So they're going to be okay at offensive line. And I say okay tentatively, but they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, I think, late in the season if they stay healthy. This is going to be one of those games where the Dallas defense, all around, from the guys up front to the secondary to everybody, if they can put pressure on Eli, if they can force fumbles, force interceptions, force bad throws, give Eli a little bit of a panic attack in the pocket, I think we win this game. I mean, I think we win it anyway, but I think
but Chris, to be honest with you, if the terms that you just said happen in every game, we're going to be undefeated.
If
you get turnovers, if you pressure the quarterback, if you get fumbles and score 30 points a game, more times than not, you're going to win. So,
well, we have
that,
the potential
that
to do that.
Sense.
That's what I'm saying. We have the guns.
When
to
Hardy
do that.
Is back. When Hardy is back. I don't think Gregory is that much. I just don't think the guys that we have besides him offer that much of an immediate problem in the pass rush. So I think when Hardy comes back,
Gregory is going to be good. And
DeMarcus
Lawrence is coming back.
Yeah, I just think it's going to take time.
It could take time, but we can't afford a lot of time. We got such a front-loaded schedule and such difficult games in the first five games of the season that we won't have Hardy for, or at least four of those. We need to make sure that we get our ears pinned back, and we're ready to go in the trenches week one. Because if we sleep on the Giants and Eagles, we're going to start 0-2.
Do you think Goodell will allow Jones to receive a backloaded suspension for Hardy?
Maybe.
Where he can put the suspension for the last four games of the season instead of the first four?
Maybe. I mean, that's an interesting point you bring up. I've never heard of a suspension.
Well, you can backload
when player
contracts. You can backload contracts. Why can't you backload a suspension? Especially, you know, one from a commissioner who's clearly getting his butt kicked in the offseason.
That's a good point. But I've never thought of that. But it's one of those things where it doesn't matter if we have Hardy. I'd rather have him playing hot and being on his game and, you know, playing the last 12 games and going into January on fire, then playing well and then taking 4 weeks off and not really, you know, being cold going into January, no pun intended. But I don't know. I think the Carr is better than you and I, give him credit for, but I don't think he's obviously a top-tier corner by any means. I think that he's not worth the money that he's got, but I don't think he's terrible. I don't think he's garbage, but I don't think he's worth the money. Byron Jones, and one of the email guys who sent us in, Tom from New York, we'll get to that in a minute, but he mentioned a good point about Byron Jones, so we're going to come back to Byron Jones in a minute and sort of get a little bit more into how his first action was during that San Diego game. The second topic, though, that we had was an interesting one, and it deals with backups. Again, we lost 17-7 to the Chargers in that first preseason game. I don't really wait the preseason. I don't care because, honestly, we went 0-4 last year in the preseason. Look what we did. So preseason to me doesn't matter. But Justin Vaughn, who we've talked a little bit about being the next, you know, the heir apparent for Tony Romo when Romo retires in however many, 4 or 5 years, maybe 3, depending on how the back is. We've talked about him possibly moving up to be the number 2. Brandon Whedon is terrible. Everybody with eyes knows Brandon Whedon is terrible. But we also have this interesting little prospect, this interesting little mobile guy, Michael Vick. Well, actually, he's got more of the body of – he's got more of like a Vince Young body, but he's a lot more accurate. He's a little bit faster. He's got like Michael Vick in his prime speed, but he's got – you know, I'm trying to think of other mobile guys, probably Dante Culpepper's accuracy. And his name is Jamil Showers. And Showers is from UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso. He came into the game. He actually didn't look bad. I was watching that preseason game, and I'm like, who is this Showers kid? Because he gives us the opportunity then to run different options and packages. That being said, we have now that three-prong attack that Philly has. Because you think about it, Romo's obviously better than anybody they've got. But they've got that little option down near the goal line where, as you know, the kicks now, the extra points are 35 yards, which is crazy. But they've done that. A lot of teams are going to be going for two. A lot of teams, because you get to go from two for the two-point conversion from the two-yard line. But yet your extra point is 35 yards, which in bad weather conditions is going to be a little bit more difficult than we'd like to see an extra point be. So we now have Jamil Showers and this Gus Johnson kid who has a nose for the end zone. We can run some cool option packages with him down near the goal line, putting him in the game but also leaving Romo in, putting him in as like a flex back type situation. The kid can move. He can take a hit, and he can throw the football. I watched him. He is deadly accurate. I mean, which is nice to see, but, I mean, he looks like RG3 out there on his feet. And I was like, wow. I mean, he's spinning off tackles.
How'd that work out for RG3?
Well, I'm just saying mobile-wise. When RG3 first came in, he was unstoppable on his feet. And this kid, sort of the same way, spinning out tackles, moving out of the pocket, making guys chase
them. How
can
you say
someone
was unstoppable on their feet when they first came in, when someone literally broke that dude in half to the point where he's never been the same again? He was not unstoppable. He was very stoppable. He's been stopped, and now he sucks.
He was definitely a candidate for Rookie of the Year his first season. No question.
Good deal. Good deal.
Okay, but I'm just saying, I'm not comparing him to RG3 all around his game. I'm just saying when RG3
first
came into the league.
If you like this kid, don't compare him to RG3 because RG3 is a cancer.
The only thing with a capital O that reminds me of RG3 about this kid is his footwork. He can move. He can run. He's quick. He's
big. Michael Vick.
Well, yeah, but Vick is tiny. You breathe on him, and he falls over. This kid can take a hit. He can take contact. He's got an RG3-looking body, and he's solid. I don't think he's going to be one of the top three quarterbacks, but they're thinking about maybe moving him to kick returns, putting him on special teams, and I guarantee you there is something up their sleeve. Jason Garrett and that coaching staff has a plan for him. And now that this league has moved into sort of a hybrid rushing option type thing. They are going to use him, I guarantee it. You heard it here first on the Stars Align Overtime Sports News Network. They are going to use this kid in big-time situations, either for two-point conversions, option-type packages into their offense. They're probably going to have Romo hand off to him, and he's going to throw the football to somebody or something. And you're going to see more of this kid than you may be thinking right now. I guarantee you makes the roster.
Chris, can I tell you, I want to make a statement about option packages and why I think they're awful. The reason why I think these packages that you're talking about that are so exciting and blah, 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 if the Philadelphia Eagles are playing us, okay?
Yeah.
They get down to about, I don't know, the 7-yard line. All of a sudden, the starter is pulled out of the game. Tim Tebow comes into the game. What is our defense immediately going to think?
That it's going to be a run or some sort of an option, yeah.
Right. So it makes more sense to teach the real quarterback how to do these option plays to
fake the team
out.
But do you really want him with the football?
I mean, if it's literally a 7-yard play action boot, like you remember that game against the Broncos where Peyton Manning literally faked our entire stadium out and walked into the end zone on the other side casually. He like literally like walked like as a joke because that's how bad of a fake. Because who in their right mind would think that Peyton Manning is going to rush a TD? Nobody. And that's why it worked. Not because they drafted this fast quarterback that's so, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he's got all these options and blah, blah. No, man. Teach the guy who no one is expecting how to do this, and that will work a lot more than when you have just a special offense for that one guy. So when that one guy comes onto the field, it's literally like a red flag going in every other direction. Now, yeah, you could use that as a like reverse psychology and send that guy out so everyone's thinking run, and then he finally passes, and you're like, whoa, I didn't know. But either way, something fishy's about to go down because you're pulling your starter. So this isn't D2 the Mighty Ducks, right? Where they send Goldberg out in a
great movie.
Or they send who was it? The knuckle puck kid out in the Goldberg goalie jersey, and then he pulls his jersey off and hits the knuckle puck for the game. This isn't that. You can't send a guy out in a different guy's jersey. So when the guy comes out and it's a new guy and you know he only does one thing, it kind of turns your offense vanilla and makes you one dimensional. That's why I hate option packages. That's why I hate that Johnny Manziel can't just be the starting quarterback in Cleveland and give them an array of options. That's why I hate that Philly doesn't just let Tebow do his thing and give him the chance. I'm glad because, honestly, every day that they keep trying to find a QB and other teams keep passing on Tebow, it sucks and it's ruining his life, but it's one less – you know, guy who's got clearly the universe on his side that I have to worry about coming through in the clutch, because there's one thing I know about Tim Tebow and that he is clutch. He'll win the game when it matters. So the less I got to see Tebow, the better. The less we got to worry about Johnny Manziel, the better. So let them do all this crap, but I'm just saying, don't waste your damn time setting up a whole playbook for this kid. Because it's just, I think it's pointless. Teach Romo how to do this stuff. You really want to fake a team out, send the kid out there who's got a back problem, have him play action, go the other way. No one will freaking think twice about it.
True, but you got to be a little open-minded. And when I say that, it means, say he comes in, right, and Romo drops back, fakes a screen pass or something like that, or fakes a handoff or something to him. Everybody's thinking, he's getting the ball.
So
he's either going to be a lateral
the
screen,
Edelman
and he's going to throw whatever. Then all of a sudden,
the
everybody's keying in on him. Romo throws it down the field. Boom, touchdown. We
you're
actually have a caller
Brady,
on.
Brady to Edelman, that's what you're talking about.
Brady, sort of like a Brady to Edelman type thing. Speaking of the Cowboys playing the Giants week one, We have a Giants fan on the line. Bill, how are you, man?
How you doing, guys? I hope your weekend was good. Though I got confused. I hear all this talking about the Eagles. I thought this was a Cowboys show.
Yeah, he brought up the Eagles, not me. I don't know. But, Dalton, I was going to ask you, and Bill, we'll get your input in one sec, but enough about Jameel Showers for the moment, because chances are we're not going to see all that much of him this season. Did you watch the preseason game, right? A little bit of it, anyway? Yeah, Dustin, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Do you think that Dustin Vaughn did enough and showed enough to overtake Brandon Weeden as the number two option?
I mean, if we're going off of, like, you're pretending I'm the coach right now, I don't think so, because Brandon Weeden's been in the system for a couple of years now, unfortunately. So I understand that, but terrible is easy for you and I to say, but if you or I walked onto the field and probably tried to out-throw Brandon Weeden, we'd probably get our butts kicked. So even though he's terrible to Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady statuses, he still is probably the second best arm in our camp right now, unfortunately. But I think ultimately after this season, give Vaughn, and then he'll be the number two. And then if we decide we're going that direction after Romo, then fine.
All right, I got you. Hey, Bill, I saw that you contributed a little bit to the page, the Overtime Sports News Network page. We got to thank you for that.
A little bit.
Yeah, so that's going to be good. We're going a little bit at a time, man. We're Mediation Monday was supposed to be today, but we had an issue with Blog Talk. You can only do one show per day. They only allow you to do one, even though you're paying for it. They only allow you to do one show per day, which is ridiculous. And Spreaker, which is where our shows are uploaded to afterwards to go on YouTube, they're just the most confusing. They're like doing calculus to do a live broadcast. So we're probably going to, I don't know how much of the show you heard in the beginning, but we are probably going to do, move this show maybe to Sundays, but possibly leave it the same. Either way, one of the shows is moving. Or if we're going to do a Mediation Monday, play it before this, we're going to record on a different date and play it right before this and then keep this at the same time. We're debating options and stuff. So.
Okay, cool.
But you called in. I'm assuming it's for a reason.
Listening to you guys. You know, here you guys put a lot of stock in these preseason games. Man, I just can't get into it. I don't want to see about guys that will be packing groceries in 3 weeks or guys that, you know, for every 100 guys that don't make it, there's like one Victor Cruz story. And for the preseason, for me, is wake me when it's game three, when the starters play, and they play a half, and then I don't get too worried. And I just pray that no one gets hurt.
Didn't watch the Giants' first preseason game against Cincy?
I didn't see it down. I didn't see it down in football this weekend. For me, it's Blue Jays and Yankees in a heated pennant race, and you know, it's still baseball season until that calendar flip September for me. And
you think the Rays have a chance of being involved in that race?
The Rays? No.
Yeah.
No. It's flat.
So you legitimately aren't worried about like anything they have to offer. Archer, Longoria, anything the Rays have to offer.
No. They don't have enough.
It's gonna be Blue Jays Yankees.
No, it will be. No, I won't say that. The team that's, I mean, I'm very concerned with the Blue Jays. I don't know how much you guys are into baseball or followed all along, but, you know, this year everyone said the American League East was down this year, and it was just kind of going to be wishy-washy. Everyone's going to be 500. You know, by the time we're all said and done, we might have a division winner and two wild cards all come out of the East. Because I'm not sold that Baltimore is not going to make a run.
Well, I have to follow everything, unfortunately. I mean, I'm, you know, 80 hours a week at my radio station that I work at and stuff, and it's just like more sports than I really sometimes care to focus on. And we carry the Yankees, So I, you know, I'm sitting through 5-hour games constantly. So I've been following. I know that, you know, Toronto's hot. I definitely think they both make the playoffs, Toronto and New York. But regardless, if we're thinking about maybe doing some baseball coverage on the website. But, Dustin, we had some emails coming up. And did you want to read those off now, or did you have more comments on Vaughn or Wheaton?
No. I mean, I'm bored with the backup stuff. I agree with Bill. Yeah, I agree with Bill as far as preseason. The only reason why I care about preseason is honestly because the only reason I care about it is for fantasy drafts. I make sure my draft is after the preseason, so if someone's injured, it doesn't screw me after we've already drafted. That to me is the only reason to watch the preseason.
You know how many times I've seen players that were in the preseason that I've just casually seen that I was like, oh, all right, he's going to be all right, blah, 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 blah. But I never paid him any mind, right? One of our guys goes down, and I want to know, one, as a sports journalist and a, you know, a radio host, but two, as a mega fan with a touch of OCD, that we have a competent backup. Like, for instance, if, let's say, so Skandrick goes down, okay? I want to see what Tyler Patman's got. I don't want to wait until week 6 in an important game that counts for win-loss. I want to know what Patman can do now. So I've been watching our backups because I never rule out injuries.
I go the other way with it. I'd say throw him into the fire, and then we're really going to see what the kid's got.
I don't
care
want to do that if the
do.
Game matters.
Yeah.
You know,
Here we go. Mail time. First one. Houston, Texas, Brian. Do you really think the Cowboys are the best Texas team in the NFL? How about Bill answers this one?
How about you want to? I'm going to surprise you. Are the Dallas Cowboys the best team in Texas? Yes. Why? Because of their quarterback play. About Ryan Mallett against Tony Romo? I'll take Tony Romo all day long over Ryan Mallett.
Well, they have Hoyer as well from Cleveland.
Well, yeah, Hoyer.
He'll take him home.
No thanks.
All right.
All right. Number two, we got James out of Chicago. Will Tony Romo win a Super Bowl?
Ooh. Yes.
What do you think, resident Giants fan?
Will he win a Super Bowl only on Xbox?
Oh,
okay. So that's a
ouch.
No. Capital N, huh?
And I don't think it's an indictment on Romo. I just think I don't think he will. I just don't think the Cowboys have the best team, will be the best team, or the best team. And you know,
Can I submit an email? Real quick,
sure.
Okay, Chris from New York says, will Eli win another one before he retires?
No.
Okay, good. So two no's. If he said yes, I was about to hang up on him. Okay, next one.
But you got to listen to me. You got to think, though, about those. The reason why I hate these questions, will Tony Romo win a Super Bowl? There's not a single person on this planet that A, can tell the future, and B, can know every, you know, particular thing that could fall into place. Like, you're going to tell me right now that year the Boston Red Sox won the championship and then didn't make the playoffs the following year, that they didn't run completely off of emotion from the marathon bombing, and that helped them gain that edge that they needed to rally and fight and win those games that they normally would have lost. They didn't lose any players other than Ellsbury. How did they go from a championship caliber baseball team to no playoffs? Same coach, same players. It's because emotion and certain things that we can't control, that the news doesn't even control, things can just happen. And a team can play so far above their potential that anybody can pull it out. Because you can't tell me the years that Eli won, they were the best team in the league. Negative.
They were the best team in January.
Yeah, they played the best football late.
That's my point. So I don't think anybody really can answer that question, or will Aaron Rodgers win another one? Will Brady win another one? You don't know.
I know this. Aaron Rodgers will win another Super Bowl.
You're willing to bet your house that Aaron Rodgers will win another Super Bowl.
Outside of betting my house and my kids, I would bet the Rodgers would win another Super Bowl before he hangs it up.
I was right about to say. What does your house look like? I'll take the bet.
So let me say this, Bill, because I love saying this when people are like, you know, I bet you. If you were forced to put like everything you had in savings on a single quarterback in the league to win a Super Bowl, you're going to do it on Aaron Rodgers?
100%.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. So that used to be
Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, easy, without hesitation, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, but they're
both
old now.
It was never Peyton Manning for me, but that's okay.
All right, Chris, you got that.
Dustin is a Peyton Manning fan. Dustin loves Peyton Manning, so...
Yeah,
I'm not knocking the guy, but there are red flags if you delve inside the numbers and such. He is an all-time...
I think he's the greatest regular season quarterback we'll ever see. The greatest regular season quarterback we'll ever see, period.
I probably wouldn't disagree with you.
Right, and then when it comes to game time, he's robotic, but he just doesn't seem to make the plays in the clutch to win those big games, and that's his biggest.
You know what?
Problem.
I don't even think it's that. I think he's always had a substandard defense. He's often done this on the road against, you know, a lot of his failures have come against people like the Patriots and the Seahawks, and a lot of it's come outside when, you know, he's really, it's more of a timing and touch quarterback than anyone else. It's arm strength has always been a question with him. Inside the perfect conditions of the dome, he really excelled. And
he's
an indoor
quarterback.
Yeah, same with Drew Brees. I think if you put them outside, even on the same teams, their numbers are highly skewed.
You want to know one out of left field you would have never even thought to consider in that category as an indoor quarterback who could have had a huge career but got thrown in an outdoor? Mark Sanchez, out of his nice warm weather college. When he didn't have to deal with cold weather and the elements, he had a gun, but he just got drafted to the wrong team. And I think we've all seen which, you know,
well, the Jets are cursed. We all know that.
He did get drafted to the wrong team, but he did take the team in his first 2 years to the AFC Championship game. And as how bad he was last year coming off the bench to replace Foles, I think his team
he
still averaged
well.
29 points a game.
Yeah, those first games, he beat the crap out of us. He did well.
Bill's going to hate me, but Mark Sanchez went to the AFC Championship game the same way Eli Manning went to the Super Bowl. He rode that defense and was a game manager, and they weren't necessarily a dominant team. They just didn't allow a lot of points and things like that. And then he got hot late. And
I would totally agree. The second Super Bowl, we would fight.
Okay.
I think the day that you put Eli Manning in a game manager category is the day you need to quit radio, my friend, because he's not a game manager. Eli Manning is literally... No, he is literally like the epitome of I'm just going to throw it up. I'm a gunslinger. He's as close as you're going to get to that gunslinger, we're just going to put it up mentality. Because if you're a game manager, you certainly don't average more touchdowns more interceptions than touchdowns ever, right? Because you're a low-risk, high-reward guy.
I'll check Alex Smith. Alex Smith.
Tim Hasselbeck was a game manager. I'm trying to think of some other like notorious like – you know, check
Alex
down
Smith.
Guys. Yeah, Alex Smith, exactly. You're not going to put Eli Manning up there. No way. Eli Manning's a slinger. I just hate that he's lucky. But other than that, he's a gunslinger.
I hate that he's lucky, too. Do we have any other emails?
Yeah, last one, Tom, New York. Do you think Byron Jones is all that he's cracked up to be? He got undressed by backup Charger receivers and is already injured.
He did. I watched a couple of those series, and it was like a welcome to the NFL Byron Jones. One of them was Keenan Allen,
who was a starter for the Chargers out of Cal Berkeley, and he made him look. It made him look like a rookie. There was a comeback play, and Jones got spun around and just could not get back into the play. Other than that, they tested him. I mean, they have nobody behind Phillip Rivers, and they were throwing at him, and it was working. So all of this hype that we had about Jones coming in, the doubt's starting to creep into my mind a little bit. Got to be honest.
Yeah, he had issues. He had injuries in college with his shoulder. That's what worries me the most, because right now he has a shoulder injury, and they're worried about it. They're keeping him out of the contact drills, yada, yada, yada. I would have said if he's getting burnt at corner and he's got athletic ability, which he clearly does, then he is literally destined to be a safety. But the problem is I think your shoulder comes into play, like I said earlier in the show, way more as a safety than a corner. So if this guy's got literally like glass shoulders and he can't play man coverage in a league that is clearly a throw-first league, then we certainly could have reached with our first-round pick.
Which would be, I hate to say it, typical Cowboys. Hate to say it, but it's true.
Minus Zach Martin.
Well, yeah, true, but that's a conservative pick nobody expected. Everybody and their mother thought we were taking Johnny Football in that draft. So I even did. I didn't want to, but I thought we were. So who knows?
I wanted to, but Martin's panned out, so I can't say anything.
Oh, he's been sensational.
You think?
Yeah. He's been sensational. And one other thing, I actually had an email come in here, too, and it's actually from a girl, which is awesome. But we had Amanda from New York, who I think she's just the secretary, per se, because she says, my boyfriend is a Cowboys fan. And she says, Lyle Collins pancaked these Chargers defenders. She writes, it looks like the blind side out there. Parentheses, great movie, end parentheses. She says, do you think Lyle Collins gets some playtime this season? And do you think that perhaps we let Leary go in free agency at the end of this year and have Collins be the long-term solution? Because we have too many good O-linemen. Like, if we had our starters and then some okay backups, which is what usually happens, that's fine. We have too many top-tier linemen. I mean, guys that could be starters on any other team are sitting on the bench. So,
yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem. I'd rather have that problem than be sitting here, you know, those teams that are like the Eagles that are like, oh, well, they got a great team. They just got that hole, though, on right guard because they let blah, blah, blah go because he's making $6 million a year. So I'd much rather have that deep line where we're like, oh, man, bummer, we got so many talented guards that they have to sit on. I don't care. I'd rather have that problem than, you know, be sitting there where everybody's looking at a giant gaping hole where apparently you can get straight to the quarterback.
Too much talent is never a problem. And worrying about
next year.
Yeah, but you
hate to see young guys whittle away, don't you? I mean,
listen, if I'm a Cowboy fan, which I'm clearly not, if I'm contending for the NFC Championship this year, the last thing I'm thinking about is my seventh-rated offensive lineman if he's good enough to start next year. How about go out and go 12-4 again and not worry about it?
Well, that's a given. I think we're going to go 12-4 anyway. But
well,
that's
insane.
Just me being obsessive.
Yeah, evidently, 12-4.
Yeah. Well, I do. I think we'll go at worst 11-5. But again, I think that every year, you know, I've it's been a tough decade for me, so who knows? But
it's been tough 2 decades.
Though. Well, yeah, I haven't really known about football that long. I'm only 26, so. But yes, based on Cowboys fans who I know that are older, yes, it's been a tough 2 decades.
Bill, what's your prediction for the Giants this year record?
7-9.
Really?
Maybe.
No optimism whatsoever?
No.
Do you feel Coughlin is gone at the end of this season if they don't make the playoffs?
Yeah, he's gone after the season.
Are you in favor of that move?
It's time, I think. The question is, like, you know, everyone always calls for coaches or managers in whatever sport to be fired. But my question is, who do you replace
Eli.
Him with? And that I do not know. I think they'll be exciting. I think they'll be very exciting this year. I think they'll put up points on the board for sure. And everyone's worried about our offensive line, and I'm in the minority. I don't know how we're going to stop anyone with our front four.
Right. I think the running game has potential, clearly. I think people are really giving way too much, negative outlook to Victor Cruz. People don't, it's such a ridiculous thing. Yeah, he got hurt. He was a number one guy, like without even a doubt, like that guy could put up points. He was a threat. And now everybody's looking at him like he's a third tier guy. It's like, just because Beckham came out of the woodwork, if Beckham didn't show up, Victor Cruz would be back. Everybody would be talking about him. But because Beckham came, it's like everybody's like, oh, well, Victor is hurt. He had that knee. What was it? Was it knee or ACL? What was it?
He tore his meniscus, I believe, and that's a tough one to come back
meniscus?
From.
Meniscus? It's a tough one to come back from, but it's not your ACL. The meniscuses, those are the ones on, you know what I mean? Those are the smaller of those knee ligaments. So I think, I mean, how predicated was Cruz on speed and shiftiness? I thought he was just a big athlete. Like a good
no, he's not a big player. He's a slot receiver. That's his really his. That's what made him. That's what put him on the map. He's not really like a downhill. He doesn't have a speed of like Dez or anything like that. He probably runs a 4.5, but it's all about his moves 8 to 10 yards. You know, off the line of scrimmage, getting open and making
well,
the first
always,
guy.
So then
well,
the
Bill,
meniscus might
remember.
Be important.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, I'm always going to remember the play. I don't know if it wasn't this past season. I believe it was the one before it.
Against the Jets?
Where they were backed into their own end zone, and Eli threw a little dump off screen just to get some better yardage to punt from, and he went, 95 yards with it or something?
He went 99 yards, but the guy chasing him was Eric Smith, a slow white dude. I mean, that's why, and the Jets missed two tackles at the point of attack, and somehow he had just a lot of room to run.
So either way, I'm always going to remember Cruz for that. So, yeah, so that's basically our mail time, and that's something that we're going to be doing, except next week we're going to have some cool music. I'm thinking something interesting for mail time, like Crank Yankers, I got mail, or like something crazy that we'll play for it, because it's kind of bland the way that it is. But we're definitely going to spice it up a bit. But Bill, hey, thanks, man, for calling in. Always appreciate it, and good work and everything on the website, and we look forward to more input from you throughout the year.
Yeah, I'll get some more input. I'll be out of touch starting on Thursday. I'm going for family vacation, so I'll be out of touch for a week and a half or so. But come September 1, be back rolling and getting ready to talk opening night Giants Cowboys.
Well, here's what we're going to do.
What are you doing for vacation? Where are you going?
Oh, yeah,
I have no idea. I don't know what I'm doing. No, I don't have, I don't have any expectation from day to day. Expectation of the game, I'll see who's healthy, and then I'll make a prediction, but I'm leaning toward the Cowboys in the shootout.
Well, what we're doing is after the game, we're going to be on air sort of doing a post-game recap type thing, talking about the game, likes, dislikes, and different things. So, definitely feel free to call in. If we lose, rub it in our face. If we win, we'll try not to be too hard on you, and we'll go from there.
I'll make a prediction: Dallas 38, Giants 34.
So shootout. See, he agrees with me. I think it's going to be two high-powered offenses against two question mark defenses, and it's going to be exciting for Sunday night for sure.
I hope so. Looking forward to it, guys. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bill.
Have a good one, Bill.
So the resident Giants fan, always feel bad cutting him off, but we do have to move on with the show. We are up against it. About 30 minutes left to go here. You know the number. I think Bill's got it on speed dial at this point. 713-955-0359 of the digits. Give us a shout. Chat box blowing up. Emails coming in every day.
unwavering support, and we absolutely love that. And to everybody who's writing for the Overtime Sports News Network, I just got to say,
you did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about Jim Cowboy?
Yeah, put that in your pipe. So, Dustin, I know you're not a big fan of the season. I almost said postseason. Everyone's a big fan of the postseason. Preseason. But watching that pass rush, how we got after Melvin Gordon, how we got after the Chargers quarterbacks, whoever they are. I don't even care to know who they are besides Rivers. But we had some sacks, some knockdowns, some hurries. We created havoc on the front seven for the Chargers team. Do you think that front line appears to be, you know, a strong point for us now? Or do you think that we just happen to have a good matchup with San Diego?
I think it's preseason. I think there's a lot of young guys that are out to prove that they belong and that they deserve a spot on the team. And I think crapping on Byron Jones is an overreaction, and being too hyped up about the D-line is an overreaction also. I just think you got to, I don't know, take all these games with a grain of salt, because the reason why I hate preseason is because it doesn't mean crap, and that's what you said too. And yes, I like to know who's behind who and blah, blah, blah. If this guy goes down, I know who the backup is. I know what his favorite color is and what he does on the weekends. That's great. But I want to know what these guys are going to do in real game time situations, the game on the line, a win in the win column or a loss in the loss column, playoff games on the line. That's when I care to know about you. Other than that, I just can't get hyped for it, man.
Okay.
Like I said, the only other reason why I pay attention to the preseason is so I know who I'm drafting for fantasy football, which, by the way, Chris is running, correct?
Yep, I'm putting it together as we speak. I'm collecting emails and seeing who wants to be in it. It's going to be the Overtime Sports News Network, the OTSNN presents Fantasy Football 2015. It's going to be at Yahoo. Because I just like their setup better than the NFL.com one, and CBS makes you pay, and I don't want to pay.
And ESPN isn't that great either. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
No, it's really not.
I think Yahoo is my favorite platform, but if I had to do a second, I would go ESPN. But NFL is...
Okay.
Yeah, I can't get into NFL.com.
But yeah, Yahoo is the one that this particular one's going to be. So if you'd like to be in fantasy football, send us an email with your contact info. We'll get you signed up. We're probably going to have the drafts about...
Third week of the preseason.
Week.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it that early.
Yeah, you want to do it either the third week or right after the final week of the preseason. So like I said, you know who... is playing injuries, but you don't want to wait until the week before the season. You know what I mean? You want some time to let it marinate and relax. But if you do want in, like we said, we're going to do, we'll do a free league, and then we'll also do a money league where it'll be like $20 for our entry, and then we'll do a big grand prize, and then we'll do like a runner-up, probably, like you get your money back. But so that way the grand prize is worth playing for. But you got to email us, overtimesnn@gmail.com, OVERTIMESNN@gmail.com. Email us, say you want in on fantasy football, give us, well, we'll have your email, but give us the, you know, the basic contact info that we'll need, and we'll have that up and running. I think it'll be cool. It'll be something that we can do a little segment on week to week on this show and on the Mediation Mondays, and then we'll be off and running.
Well, one thing about fantasy that I'm really kind of pissed about is as we were starting up this show and we did our pre-draft talks and everything, I wanted Dallas, just like you wanted Dallas, to take a running back. I was huge coming into the draft, Amir Abdullah out of Nebraska. Okay. I wanted this kid. Nobody really gave him much credit. I watched him the other day. Now, again, I know it's the preseason, but he played and started against the starting Jets defense in the first quarter and torched him. This is going to be a fantasy sensation at running back this year. So, again, if you have a chance to take a risk on Amir Abdullah from the Detroit Lions, book him now. Because AP is probably going to be off the board. Marshawn Lynch is probably going to be off the board. All those big-time guys, Murray, all of them are going to be off the board. Abdullah is going to be that sleeper pick. I guarantee it. So, speaking of
sleeper pick. You know who my sleeper pick is?
Who's that?
Receiver in Oakland.
Which one? Crabtree?
No.
Or Amari Cooper?
Cooper. It's the Cooper.
Ah.
Yeah, that's
okay.
The sleeper.
I'll tell you,
right there, because
they're going to be
Brandon
interesting,
Carr.
Too. With
yep.
Carr throwing to Cooper and Crabtree?
Listen, you S-worded all over me on my pick, the sleeper pick. Raiders are winning that division. I'm sticking with it.
No way. No. I mean, they got the Chiefs and Broncos, which are both exponentially better than Oakland. Then you've got San Diego, which I think is a little bit better.
I'm telling you, it's the year. No one's going to expect it. It's my out-of-left-field pick.
All right. Well, hey, you got to love those, you know? I live about 15 minutes from a horse racetrack, and I do the same thing all the time. I've donated a lot of money, so got to take a risk sometimes. Justin, you cannot draft offensive linemen in fantasy football, unfortunately, which would be awesome. I think everybody would be scrambling for the Dallas O-line. But speaking of the Dallas O-line, our anchor, kingpin of that line, the first guy that was drafted to make up the Legion of Room, as you call it, Tyrone Smith, injured. Now, it's nothing major. It's just a strain. Checked into it, but I believe it's just a strain. My question is, Dustin, since the preseason doesn't matter, and we've both agreed on that, do you think that we should sit the entire offensive line, starting offensive line, for the remainder of the preseason to avoid any of our guys going down?
I think you should sit the O-line. You should sit the wide receivers, the tight ends, the defensive backs, the D-line, the cheerleaders, the starting cheerleaders, the starting mascot. Put them all away. And then let them play the final quarter of the fourth preseason game just so they can get that superstitious BS out of their head. Shake the rust off. Shake it off. Because it's just stupid.
Okay.
Don't put them out there with kids that are literally trying to make their first ever professional football team. They're going to die for that play that they're going to accidentally tear your ACL on. Just get out of the game. They don't mean anything. If they at least handed out a preseason trophy for whoever went undefeated, fine. You know what I mean? Tell me that wouldn't be a trophy the Patriots went for. If there was at least an award for being a preseason champion, then fine. Do whatever you want. But there isn't. So stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your strength. Be fresh for the real season when it matters.
I like that. I like playing, the starters, maybe the first series, maybe the first, quarter, whatever, as the preseason goes on. But with our offensive line being our saving grace, with our offense running through them, with Tony's success pretty much 100% dependent on them, sit them out. If Lyle Collins, who's good, don't get me wrong, a feel-good story in the offseason, but was an undrafted free agent who you only paid a little over $1 million to, throw him out there. Put Weems out there. Put even Doug Free out there. But so help me God, keep Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, and Tyrone Smith, and possibly Ronald Leary off the gosh darn field until September. Please. Because if our line goes down, we're going to be in a lot of trouble this season, I have a feeling. But with Romo in that back, for God's sakes, Jerry, don't do this to me. I mean, you've caused me enough pain and suffering. But speaking of that, though, I know this is a Cowboy show, but getting into what was going to be one of our Mediation Monday topics, do you feel that Tom Brady, who is obviously, as you said, the face of the league, a first ballot Hall of Famer, possibly one of the best quarterbacks
ever.
No.
You said he was the face of the league.
No, I'm pretty sure you did. I'm just kidding.
No.
I know it was me.
You said face of the league, and you said it's because it's in the news and yada, yada, yada. And then that's what we got into it about who the face of the league is, not the guy who's in the news. It's whoever the marketing push is behind. And right now, to be honest with you, it's looking like J.J. Watt and Rob Gronkowski, a whole lot of them, and a whole lot less of quarterbacks.
Tom Brady's the face of the league. Anyway, so Tom Brady came in, and he is, as you know, at the moment, suspended for 4 games. There's no progress on that case at all. He does something unheard of for quarterbacks of his stature. Now, I know Phillip Rivers started in the game against us, and Bridgewater, who's young, and things like that. But guys who are in their late 30s who are that established do not play the first preseason game. What happens? Tom Brady jogs on out there, plays the first series. Do you think that that was a big middle finger to the league and Roger Goodell?
Yeah, absolutely, but it didn't amount to anything. He had all completions. I don't think he got his first completion until the second series, and he only was like 4, and they pulled him. So it was specifically a middle finger to the league. That's completely what it was, and whatever. We already know that that's how they operate. You know what I mean? Everybody knows that.
Why risk that? I mean, let's say Romo's in this situation, and he's the one with the deflated balls, and you take the plate gate and you put it in Romo's court. Okay? If they put Romo out on the field for the first preseason game that means essentially nothing, I would be pissed.
I would love it.
What if one of those young guys who you just said is going to give their all, going to go 110%, and is going to dive at Brady's knees, okay, because he needs to make that sack. Brady tears his ACL, first game of the preseason, you got egg on your face, and you are the laughing stock of the league. Why do it? You want to give the middle finger to the league?
Nobody's gonna have more egg on their face than Pete Carroll right now. But other than that, I guess, like I said, anybody can take out anybody in any moment of any NFL game, preseason, regular season, postseason. It does not matter. It's just the laws of life and physics. So I just think if I'm the Patriots, I'm Bill, I'm Tom, I'm angry, I'm sick of the Goodell era, I'm going out there as a statement. Now, when I go out there as more of a middle finger, I hand the ball off and then come off the field mid-series. That's the ultimate FU, because you didn't even throw the ball. You came out, you got in the huddle, and handed the ball off. That's the equivalent to Brett Favre coming out in the game against the Patriots when he was hurt to start the game, to continue his start streak, and then leave immediately after. That's exactly what that would have been, and that would have been hilarious, and I would have been pushing that all over the website, because that would be an amazing story, even more so than this hypothetical middle finger, because that would have been such a direct FU, it would have been laughable. Like I said, if he had gone in there, handed the ball off, and then just curtain called it, tell me that's not the ultimately the ultimate Austin 316 moment to your boss. That's exactly what that would have been.
For sure, for sure. But I just, I mean, I don't know.
Dude, if you're going to play, now it comes down to I could walk out the door today and fall and break my neck. Like, give me a break. All right, I understand any moment, any play, anybody can go down. I'm just saying this was a FU moment. Yeah, it was a little stupid, whatever. I just think it would have been funnier if he went out there and only handed the ball off instead of trying to throw. Because a guy like Brady, who's intense, that you see barking at his teammates like that, I know what's inside that guy's head. He wants to throw the first pass. He wants it to be an 80-yard touchdown that's literally a 10-yard pickup, and then the other guy does it so he can go up there, scream and chest and helmet bump the dude and then come off the field. But it didn't happen that way. So big deal. You still bow out and you still get your FU moment. But it's just one of those things where I would have done the exact same thing, but I just would have done it better. I would have done it better. I would have gone out there and I would have, you know what I mean? Or I would have gone out for an extra point kick if I knew I could kick. I would have found any possible way to just flick that guy off for everything that he's trying to do to destroy my name. So that's the way, you know, I completely support it and I don't care. But yeah, it contradicts what I said. Don't put your guys out there. It's preseason. It means nothing. It's not worth getting hurt. But if you're spiteful and angry, then whatever. That's the type of guy I am.
We're not all
so
Cowboys.
I can understand it. Huh?
So as you see, we're not all Cowboys. This is a little trailer of sort of what you're going to be getting on Mediation Mondays or whatever it ends up being, whatever day of the week it's going to be. We'll let you know on the website sometime this week. But this is going to be a preview of what our league show is going to be about. We're strongly opinionated,
not just
about the Cowboys.
It's a lecture.
Yeah, it's not a debate. It's a lecture. And it's going to be a lecture. And, Dustin, I feel like having a good laugh today. It's a Monday. Monday Night Raw is on. It's the last Monday Night Raw before SummerSlam. WWE Network, $9.99 a month.
Main event booking ever, by the way, or co-main event.
Lesnar and Undertaker? Yeah.
We're going to watch Lesnar in some of the best shape he's ever been in throw around a 60-year-old man. That should be fun.
It's going to be, and I guarantee you it ends in disqualification. Seth Rollins gets involved. Anyways, regardless, I feel like a good laugh today. I just posted it on the Facebook page for everybody out there to see with a poll, with opinions. I want to know what you guys think. RG3. Said that he feels
is
the best quarterback in the NFL. Now, he said, I feel like I'm the best. They said, how are you feeling, you know, with the knee and everything? And he says, I feel like I'm the best quarterback in the NFL. He was saying it to say he feels good. But in a media world, in a media-happy dome globe that we live in, you don't say that because people are going to eat that alive. And look at this now, Stars Align, Facebook page here. I have it up, and it is a photo of RG3 that says, I feel like I'm the best QB in the league. You click on the link there that I put, and he explains why. Go ahead and give that a read, and get back to us and let us know once you're done wiping the laughing tears out of your eyes. Dustin, what do you feel like, only about 10 minutes left here on Cowboy 90 Minute Monday, what do you think about RG3's comments?
I feel...
Oh, you're busy laughing, I think? No, there
you go. Yeah, I just think it's stupid, and I don't... So, Chris, to give you some behind-the-scenes, folks, Chris sent me a message. He said, can you believe this? I looked at the headline, and I didn't even open it because I think it's so stupid. I don't even want to waste my time. Because there's literally at least 15 other quarterbacks I would rather have on my team than Robert Griffin III. He's not even RG3. RG3 is a cool nickname for a guy who comes in, wins Rookie of the Year, and starts to become a face of a franchise. Robert Griffin III is just some washed up already young quarterback with a coach that doesn't want him. That isn't going to do anything for the Redskins, and I'm pumped because I don't have to worry about the Redskins being any real offensive threat.
Well, they also have the Cowboy Killer.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. How could I forget about the one play a game Cowboy killer,
exactly.
Deshaun? Yeah, that gets hurt by football equipment.
Well, because you didn't read it, RG3 or Robert Griffin III says,
I don't even want to hear it. Nope.
He says, I don't feel like I have to come out here and show anybody anything or why I'm better than this guy or that guy. It's more about
going out
there.
I'm just going to have my daddy stick up for me and handle all my negative press. Every time I get sad, I'm going to get my dad to come out and handle all my problems for me against you mean reporters.
He says it's more about going out there and affirming that for me, I go out and I play. I know I'm the best quarterback on this team. I feel like I'm the best quarterback in the league. I have to go out and show that. Okay. Is he dreaming?
Yeah,
like,
you're not even on Colin Kaepernick's level, and Colin can't even throw. So don't act like you're. This is, you know what this is? This is another Eli Manning, I'm elite comment. Or was it Flacco? I don't know. One of the two dip craps just was like, well, yeah, it was Flacco. I think I'm the best quarterback in the league. And then it worked to his favor because they put so much hype around him. Yeah, they put so much hype around him. He goes out, he freaking wins the Super Bowl, and he plays like incredible. I don't think he threw an interception through the entire playoff run. And he had like one of the best passer ratings, and one of the best passer ratings in postseason history. It was incredible. Played lights out. But what has he done lately? So it's like anybody can go out there and say this. This is why I hate these losers, and I love humble guys because they don't heap this crap, this distraction on their shoulders. They just say, you know what, we're looking forward to becoming the best football team possible and trying to win as many football games as possible and get back to the Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl. Okay, fine. And that's it. That's all I want to hear. Just be publicly correct. That's all. Because the guys that were good at being standouts, the Ocho Cincos, the TOs of the world, they're done and over with. They cannot be repeated. What's that often imitated but never duplicated or something? There's a famous like rap
Austin
thing.
Imitated, never duplicated.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's T.O. That's Ocho Cinco. Those are the two best smack talkers I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God, yes.
Ever. So stop trying to even nibble, you know what I mean, at what they provided us that last decade for entertainment because no one's ever going to get there. So if you just...
Robert Griffin III... beat out Andrew Luck for Rookie of the Year in 2012.
Yeah, well,
he was better than
great.
Andrew Luck.
Well, how's Andrew Luck doing right now, and how's Robert Griffin
III doing
right now?
I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws here. I'm trying to report a news story and then get you riled up. I don't believe any of this.
The guy who didn't win Rookie of the Year is literally the unanimous decision for, like, the head of the NFL moving forward into the next decade. He is going to be the next face of the league, the next Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. That's the general consensus of Andrew Luck. What is the general consensus of Robert Griffin III?
That he might not even make the team this season.
He might not even be a starter. So the fact is, he's a scrub. Guy, you suck. Stop talking to the reporters. Or actually, you know what? Keep talking to the reporters because, like I said, the more you're in the press for being an idiot, the better it benefits Cowboys fans, and that's all I care about. So you keep making sure you mess up Washington, so it's one less team I got to worry about in the pennant chase. So realistically, same thing's going on in Philly right now. So that's why Bill in Long Island, he's the only one I really think has any kind of anything as far as a division rival to beat us. But he doesn't
even believe
in his team. Yeah, he doesn't even believe in his own guys. So, I don't know. How can you not look at the Dallas Cowboys knowing what's going on in the division, their quarterback situations, and their, you know, health problems? How can you not look at the Dallas Cowboys and think 12-4? You know what I mean? Or 11-5 at the worst.
Yeah.
So, that's why, that's just a Giants fan, I guess. You know what I mean? Because he was so repulsed by your
12-4 and 11-5 mark, and I thought you were being modest, because if I was being realistic, I'd say there's about three tough games towards the beginning, but then I don't see how we would lose the rest of the season because it's so front-loaded, but whatever.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'm always optimistic about this team. You know, I know that usually leads to pain, and it leads to me being let down and 8-8 and throwing remotes through my TVs and wanting to burn jerseys and things like that. But
don't do that. TVs are expensive nowadays.
I'm just saying, I don't want to break my big TV, but I've been close.
If you're going to throw a remote, throw it at a wall or something. Take it out of security deposit. Don't break it.
Yeah, I suppose. There's been times when I've punched things and whatever. Not people, but things. And
things,
yes. I won't go into what things or what her name is. But, no, I'm just kidding. I'm completely joking. That was not cool. So, anyways, 4 minutes left to go here. We recapping here. We went into Brandon Carr, his injury, talking a little bit about how he needs surgery. Dallas is optimistic that he'll be back. I'm optimistic that he'll be back. Dallas. You both start with D. Dustin doesn't feel like he's anything. He feels like he's crap, which, okay, I understand that. He hasn't really shown
us
that.
What I want to know is if Bill would take Brandon Carr right now for his defense. That's what I want to know, because there's a team that clearly needs help, and I want to know if a Giants fan thinks Brandon Carr is of any value to the team other than veteran presence, I guess, in the locker room. That's what I want to know.
Well,
maybe we
can
catch up with
a call in the next 2 minutes. Great. If not, we can shoot him an email. We can shoot him an email, but I want to know that too. I do. We talked about Byron Jones. Is he as good as we predicted him to be? Dustin Vaughn, Jameel Showers. We had a little bit of conflicting opinions on that. We read some mail from you guys. Thank you for that. Our pass rush, again, it's the preseason. Neither of us cared. And who should we sit? Who should we start? Dallas plays on Thursday at San Francisco. Second preseason game. Dustin doesn't care, but I will be watching. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much for putting up with us and listening to my 12-year-old voice. For those of you out there who don't know, the NFL changed the rule.
I mean, anybody with eyes knows that was a catch.
And this season, it's going to be a catch. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, thanks.
New music,
thanks,
baby. We'll see y'all next week.
Are you kidding me? That was a catch!